show, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231 as we kick off this the Wednesday edition. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And, of course, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site is totally free. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. So we got lots to talk about tonight here, including, we'll start internationally, North Korea. We mentioned them last night. You brought up a story, Mark, about how apparently back in 2002, the United States government, the George Bush administration, sent them $95 million taxpayer dollars to develop a nuclear power facility. And
I thought that was 95, the Clinton administration.
Oh, you had told me it was $95 million in 2002.
Sorry, I don't know.
You're the one with the story last night.
Well, I'll pull it back up.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure it was 2002 because you made a big deal out of getting the date wrong. You thought it was 2006, but no, it was 2002. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because, well, North Korea is in the news again after a weekend of a supposed nuclear test explosion underground there in North Korea. I guess the U.S. politicians, including President Bush, are rattling the sabers again. According to the AP, President Bush called Wednesday for stiff sanctions on North Korea for its reported nuclear test and asserted that the United States, quote, has no intention of attacking the reclusive regime. Well, that's good, because that would be suicide.
Well, it's funny. We started another war that I can recall over our sanctions. We had sanctions against Japan, and they attacked Pearl Harbor as a result.
Yeah, what kind of sanctions do we have right now? Because this article is suggesting that there are going to be increased sanctions. Did you have something about how North Korea is threatening war with the United States if we don't lift existing sanctions?
I believe that it's talking about our increased sanctions, that they're threatening war back.
I see. So if we increase the current level of sanctions, they're threatening war, but they're okay with the current level of sanctions? I mean, obviously
they don't like that either, no.
Okay.
No, North Korea stoked regional tensions Wednesday, threatening more nuclear tests and saying additional sanctions imposed on it would be considered an act of war as nervous neighbors race to bolster defenses and punish Pyongyang.
That was it?
Well, do you want to hear the rest?
Well, I was just wondering if we could find out what the sanctions are. I don't know if this particular article outlines them, but I'm interested in knowing.
South Korea said it was it was making sure its troops were prepared for atomic warfare, and Japan imposed new economic sanctions to hit the economic lifeline of the communist nation's 1 million-member military, the world's fifth largest. North Korea, in its first formal statement since Monday, claimed atomic bomb test, hailed the blast as a success, and which that is, some people disagree, and said attempts by the outside world to penalize North Korea with sanctions would be considered an act of war. So, I don't know. Just sanctions is what he says.
I tend to believe that this was not as much of a success as they claim, because communist countries are all about controlling the news that comes out of their countries, and so everything is always glorious and wonderful, even if it's just a sliced piece of bread in a communist country. So yes. I have a feeling that it was a big bomb that they set off. I don't know if it was a nuclear one.
A slice of bread produced by the proletariat, my friend.
Yeah.
Further pressure will be countered by physical retaliation, North's foreign minister warned in a statement carried by the official Korean Central News Agency. If the U.S. keeps pestering us and increases pressure, we will regard it as a declaration of war and will take a series of physical corresponding measures, the statement said, without specifying what those measures could be. President Bush called for stiff sanctions on North Korea and asserted that the United States has no intention of attacking the reclusive regime. He said he remains committed to diplomacy, but also reserves all options to defend our friends in the region. As Bush spoke, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, I love him, just think he's great, urged Washington to hold on.
You're being facetious.
Oh, I hate him. to hold one-on-one talks with Pyongyang, something the U.S. has refused to do. I have always argued that we should talk to parties whose behavior we want to change, whose behavior we want to influence, and from that point of view, I believe that the U.S. and North Korea should talk, said Annan. Annan also called the communist nation, called on the communist nation not to escalate an extremely difficult situation. North Korea's number two leader, Kim Jong-nam, threatened in an interview with a Japanese...
Can you be a leader in North Korea if your name's not Kim Jong?
I don't know. Maybe they're all named Kim Jong, and it's just different.
Is it Kim Jong and not Kim Jong?
Oh, I don't know.
It's Kim Jong,
Kim
like
Jong,
the American version?
Kim, yeah, but no, the Korean leader is Kim Jong, and this guy's Kim, name is Kim Jong.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay. But it rhymes.
Got it.
It's important. With an interview with a Japanese news agency that there would also be more nuclear tests if Washington continued what he called its hostile attitude. Kim, second to North Korean leader Kim Jong-il, told Kyoto news agency that further nuclear testing would hinge on U.S. policies towards his communist government. The issue of future nuclear tests is linked to U.S. policy towards our country, said Kim Jong-nam. And he was quoted as saying, when asked when Pyongyang would conduct further tests. Along the razor-wired no-man's land separating the divided Koreas, communist troops were more boldly trying to provoke their southern counterparts, spitting across the demarcation line, making throat-slashing hand gestures.
Oh, my.
Flashing their middle finger and trying to talk to the troops.
Wow, the middle finger means something in other countries.
They probably learned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my understanding, in World War II, the Japanese would kamikazes would say things like, "Shoot, John Wayne's a something,
a pansy,
a pansy, right?
Yeah,
you know, before they crashed into their ship and died.
Right.
Not that many of them were very successful.
How do you know that that's what they said beforehand? If they died,
I read a book. It was like in a book report when I was in fifth grade,
okay.
But I remember that part there.
I don't know. It sounds like revisionist history to me. It sounds like something somebody made up to make Americans angrier at those Japanese.
Wouldn't you want to make your enemy angry?
Was John Wayne starring in movies in the 1940s?
Look, I don't know. I would imagine he was. That's why they said it.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
1-800-259-9231 is the toll-free number.
On the streets of North Korea's capital, Pyongyang. It seemed like business,
the only place with streets.
Video by AP Television News showed people milling about Kim Il Sung Square, what I guess is the father's name, in Pyongyang, and rehearsing a performance of the 80th anniversary of Down with Imperialism, Imperialist Union. South Korean Defense Minister Yoon Kyang-un said that Seoul would enlarge its conventional arsenal to deal with a potentially nuclear-armed North Korea.
Now, you had suggested to me off the air last night that you believe that North Korea is going to cross the DMZ.
They really hate the South Koreans.
And attack South Korea. Now, what makes you say that?
They really hate them, and the situation seems to be escalating. Where's it going to go? Is it just going to disappear? Doesn't seem likely.
Your suggestion was that because North Korea allegedly has nuclear weapons now, or at least they're trying to pretend as though they do, that they're going to
sure made a big boom.
They're going to use that to back the fact that they're going to maybe attack South Korea. That was your suggestion. I think it's an interesting idea. I hope, obviously, it doesn't happen, but it could.
Besides the use of nuclear weapons on Japan, nuclear weapons have always been a deterrent. You know, as far as weapons go, and conventional warfare has been what people have used. So once they have that deterrent, it's a deterrent from being attacked, and they can pretty much, you know, they'll feel free to do what they want. And they think that South Korea belongs to them.
Hmm.
Yeah. So just
it's
like
going to be a mess.
It's going to be
like
a mess.
If they actually do that, that's going to be really bad.
It's not going to be good for. I'm sure that we'll get involved in it somehow or another.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I can't.
What do you think is going to happen? 800-259-9231 on the world scene. You can take control of the airwaves, of course, and bring up whatever's on your mind. If you had any more factoids, get them out now.
Yeah, Japan took steps to punish North Korea for the test, prohibiting its ships from entering Japanese ports and imposing a total ban on imports from the impoverished nation. North Korean nationals are also prohibited from entering Japan. 24 North Korean registered trade ships are moored in Japanese ports, according to public broadcaster NHK. Local traders already were refusing to unload shipments to protest the alleged test, and boats were expected to be ordered out. So,
can you read that a little more robotically?
Well, I had a second to get it out. Now you know. They're having some trouble trading with their local neighbors.
They're not going to like that either.
No. Obviously.
It's a bad scene. On the way.
They're going to consider any kind of sanctions an act of war, is
coming
what they claim.
Up. Burger King. The police. Marijuana. How do they all fit together? We'll explain that and more. Plus, coming up, a robber baron story. One of those bad, evil capitalist guys you heard about in high school. Maybe he wasn't so bad after all. We'll tell you the true story on the way. You can still take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever you want. That's why we call the show Free Talk Live. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231.
Perspective that goes so deep, you'll need a life jacket.
Everyone wonders why Americans don't care more about their freedoms. Could it be because we aren't teaching them? Folks, we are an ideologically based society, just like the old Soviet Union was. Their children had to learn about Marxism every day in the classroom. How often do our kids get taught about American liberty in school?
Common Sense with Dan Carlin. If the show's too smart for you, it's not our fault. Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Ted Anderson from Midas. Today is October 11, 2006. Gold opened at $574.20, and 1 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $605.64. Again, that's $605.64 to purchase 1 ounce gold coins. Do you ever wonder why deficit spending never goes away? Would you believe me if I told you that fiscal responsibility would lead to a second Great Depression? Believe it or not, this is true. Our economy gets its currency from a private banking cartel. We, the people, labor to create the money, only to turn it over to this institution for its seal of approval. They, in turn, lend it back to us, and we, the people, are forced to labor to service the interest on this debt. Midas Resources is offering the creature from Jekyll Island a second look at the Federal Reserve. Call 800-686-2237. If you haven't read this book, get a copy today. 800-686-2237. If you have, pick up a copy for your friend or relative. Call 1-800-686-2237.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit tornadoair.com or go to Pep Boys, Napa, or AutoZone today.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com. This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number 800-259-9231. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231. 9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Get signed up for the updates whenever there's something new to announce. You'll know first if you're on the updates list at updates.freetalklive.com. So it wasn't too long ago, Mark, that we told the story of a so-called robber baron. His name was, let's see, who do we focus on? It was the oil guy, right? Rockefeller.
Rockefeller?
Did the oil thing, right? You are useless tonight.
It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I think it was Rockefeller.
Okay.
He was the oil guy, as I recall. Anyway, what I found today over at Mises.org was a story of yet another so-called robber baron. Yeah, it was Rockefeller, by the way, Mark.
Okay.
That, again, history sort of holds up as an evil man, somebody who used his capitalistic ways to crush the little guy, destroy people's lives, and harm others. That's sort of the impression that you get if you read a high school history textbook.
Yeah, that these guys are, you know, these guys, when capitalism roamed unchecked, that all kinds of people were harmed, and this is proof. We have a term called robber barons, and we just lay it out on anybody we feel like.
And if you were to take the high school textbook at its word, you might think that this guy was another one of the bad guys. But in fact, according to history, the real history, it's just not the case. So Mises.org reporting here in a much larger article about a variety of robber barons. I'm only selecting one of them. He points out, he starts the article by pointing out that there are two kinds of entrepreneurs in his mind. There's a market entrepreneur, a capitalist, someone who succeeds financially by selling a newer, better, or less expensive product on the free market without any government subsidies, direct or indirect. The key to his success as a capitalist is his ability to please the consumer. For in a capitalist society, the consumer ultimately calls the economic shots, in that if you don't have happy customers, they're going to want to come back and buy more stuff from you, and if they don't come back and buy more or tell their friends to come buy stuff from you, you're going to go out of business.
You're out of business.
Right. So there's plenty of
companies that have gone out of business as proof of this.
There's the market entrepreneur. Now, his other entrepreneur is the political entrepreneur, which is a new term for me. I never heard of such a thing. He says that a political entrepreneur succeeds primarily by influencing government to subsidize his business or industry, or to enact legislation or regulation that harms its competitors. So with that preface, let's talk about James J. Hill. Most business historians have assumed that the transcontinental railroads would never have been built without government subsidies. Some people say the same things about roads today. The free market would have failed to provide the adequate capital, or so the theory asserts. The evidence for this theory is that the Union Pacific and Central Pacific railroads, which are completed in the years after the Civil War, received per-mile subsidies from the federal government in the form of low-interest loans as well as massive land grants. But there need not be cause and effect here. The subsidies were not needed to cause the transcontinental railroads to be built. We know this because just as many roads and canals were privately financed in the early 19th century, a market entrepreneur built his own transcontinental railroad. His name, James J. Hill. He built the Great Northern Railroad without any government aid, even the right-of-way, through hundreds of miles of public lands being paid for in cash, unquote. And that's a quote from Mr. Hill himself. So he was very proud of the fact that he did not take government money, any sort of government subsidy, to build his railroad.
Didn't he run people out of their homes and offer them too little for their property?
Au contraire. Quite naturally, Hill strongly opposed government favors to his competitors. Quote, the government should not furnish capital to these companies, this is Hill again, in addition to their enormous land subsidies to enable them to conduct their business in competition with enterprises that have received no aid from the public treasury, unquote, he wrote. This may sound quaint by today's standards, but it was still a hotly debated issue in the late 19th century. James J. Hill was hardly a baron or an aristocrat. His father died when he was 14, so he dropped out of school to work in a grocery store for $4 a month. Oh, man. To help support his widowed mother. As a young adult, he worked in the farming, shipping, steamship...
Gotta have a widowed mother just to make things look good.
As a young adult, he worked in the farming, shipping, steamship, fur trading, and railroad industries. He learned the ways of business in these settings, saved his money, and eventually became an investor and manager of his own enterprises. And I think it's important to point out again that James J. Hill, this man we're about to tell you all about, he dropped out of school. Okay, he didn't go to college to learn how to be a business entrepreneur, take business classes. He just learned it all on the job and applied it.
I think that's somewhat applicable today, but a lot of people would rebut that by saying, well, the world was different in 1850 than it is now.
Business hasn't really changed. It's still all about satisfying people.
I think that a business degree gives you a license to learn how to do business.
Hill got his start in the railroad business when he and several partners purchased a bankrupted Minnesota railroad that had been run into the ground by the government-subsidized Northern Pacific. The NP had been a patronage reward to financier Jay Cook, who in the war between the states...
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Wasn't he like a general or a colonel or something?
Yep, who in the war between the states had been one of the Union's leading financiers. But Cook and his NP associates built recklessly. See, the government subsidies on the land grants were issued on a per-mile-of-track basis. So Cook and his cohorts had strong incentives to build as quickly as possible, which only encouraged shoddy work. Just get it done there.
Right. Might as well.
We're getting paid by the mile here, boys. Get it done. Lay that track.
The business has nothing to do with, moving people on a train back and forth and getting their money. The business is laying track and getting money from the government for it.
Right. It's just like...
And who cares how good the track is, so long as it's lame.
It's just like dentists and doctors in socialist countries. Move the patients through. You get paid on a per-patient basis. Don't take any time to spend time with them and consult with them and actually treat them like they're important to you. Move them through. Get the paycheck. Same thing going on here. Consequently, by 1873, the NP developers had fallen into bankruptcy. The people of Minnesota and the Dakotas, where the railroad was being built, considered Cook and his business associates to be, quote, derelicts at best and thieves at worst, wrote Hill's biographer. It took Hill and his business partners 5 years to complete the purchase of the railroad, which would form the nucleus of a road that he would eventually build all the way to the Pacific, the Great Northern. He had nothing but contempt for Cook and the NP for their shady practices and corruption, and he quickly demonstrated a genius for railroad construction. Under his direction, the workers began laying rails twice as quickly as the NP crews had. And even at that speed, he built what everyone at the time considered to be the highest quality line. So
now,
why
were they able to get do so much better than these other guys with laying the track? Why? I mean, what was the reason that they were faster and had higher quality?
Well, there's just standards involved in private affairs. I mean, Hill wanted to make sure this was going to be a long-lasting track that didn't break down. It goes on to say that he used the highest quality parts. For instance, he also micromanaged every aspect of the work, even going so far as to spell workers so they could take much-needed coffee breaks. His efficiency extended into meticulous cost-cutting. He passed his cost reductions on to his customers in the form of lower rates, like any good entrepreneur should. Because he knew that the farmers, miners, timber interests, and others who used his rail services would succeed or fail along with him. Hill's motto, the suggestion that this guy was a robber baron taking advantage of people, his motto was, quote, "We have got to prosper with you, or we have got to be poor with you." He understood that if his customers aren't successful using his product, then they're not going to come back, and he's going to be out of business. 800-259-9231, more to his story on the way. You take control of the airwaves. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
If you're thinking about replacing your home's windows, think Sears. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilt in for easy cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and save $375 on select styles. Trust Sears for professional installation, convenient financing options, and best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call Sears now at 1-800-393-8378 and save $375 on select styles. Offer ends 9/30/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now, 1-800-393-8378. That's 1-800-393-8378.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with a total transformation.
After the total transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free. 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. Again, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The wiki is there. It's your listener-editable site, wiki.freetalklive.com, wyki.freetalklive.com. We're talking about a man named Jim. He was a so-called robber baron. James Hill is his name, and he actually, well, the history books have not really told the truth about this guy. He was involved with the railroad business back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and if you believe your high school textbooks, this guy was an evil man who was crushing the little guy and a horrible capitalist pig, etc., etc. But actually, as it turns out, James Hill came from a modest background, a somewhat poor background. He pulled himself up by his bootstraps, so to speak, got himself involved in the railroad industry, and built a railroad called the Great Northern Railroad all on his own. He didn't ask the government for any help.
Sounds like an American dream to me.
Right, and Mises.org is telling the rest of the story here. In keeping with his philosophy of encouraging the prosperity of the people residing in the vicinity of the railroad, Hill publicized his views on the importance of crop diversification to the farmers of the region. He didn't want them to become dependent on a single crop and therefore subject to the uncertainties of price fluctuation.
Oh my God, you mean businesses were helping other businesses. It doesn't make any sense. What happened?
Why
to
would
the
he
food?
Want to do that?
What happened to the food pyramid? The government should be telling them what to do.
Yeah, why would this railroad guy want to be helping the farmers?
Well, because if the farmers do well, then they need to move their crops on his railroad. The more crops they have, the more money he makes.
As the southern cotton farmers were, Hill also provided free seed grain and even cattle to farmers who had suffered from drought and depression. Stockpiled wood and other fuel.
He gave them grain and seed.
That's right. He also stockpiled wood and other fuel near his train depots so farmers could stock up when returning from a delivery to his trains. And loaded donated land to towns for parks, schools, and churches. He transported immigrants to the Great Plains for a mere $10 if they promised to farm near his railroad.
And why would he want them necessarily near his railroad? So they'd pretty much have to use him?
Yeah, it's the convenience, right? Same reason they want a 7-Eleven near your house. So mere $10. Any sponsored contest for the beefiest livestock or the most abundant wheat. His Model Farms educated farmers on the latest developments in agricultural science. All of this generated goodwill with the local communities and, of course, was good for business. Hill's rates, by the way, fell steadily. And when farmers began complaining about the lack of grain storage space, he instructed his company managers to build larger storage facilities near his rail depots. He refused to join in attempts at cartel price fixing and, in fact, quote, gloried in the role of rate slasher and disruptor of pooling agreements.
I would love that, too.
Writes historian Burton Folsom. After all, he knew that monopolistic pricing would have been an act of killing the goose that lays the golden egg. In building his...
Given a good choke.
In building his transcontinental railroad from 1886 to 1893, Hill applied the same strategy that he had in building the St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Manitoba. Careful building of the road combined with the economic cultivation of the nearby communities. He always built for durability and efficiency, not scenery, as was sometimes the case with the government-subsidized railroads.
Well, I would imagine what they would do, the government-subsidized ones, they could, since they got paid by the mile, they could go any old place. Let's go around that lake.
That's
there.
What they did.
Let's go over that mountain there.
Yep.
Let's go around the mountain one
let's
good time.
Let's do a loop-de-loop. He didn't skimp, by the way, on building materials. Having witnessed what a harsh Midwest winter could do to his facilities and how foolish it was for the NP, which was the government-sponsored line, to have ignored this lesson.
Seems it makes sense to me. I mean, whenever you buy for something that's going to last.
By the way, this from one of the biographers or historians from the time. Hill's quest for short routes, low grades, and few curvatures was an obsession. In 1889, Hill conquered the Rocky Mountains by finding the legendary Marias Pass.
Oh, wow.
Lewis and Clark had described a low pass through the Rockies back in 1805. That's almost 100 years earlier.
And they couldn't find it, but they hadn't found it yet?
But later, no one seemed to know whether if it really even existed, or if it did, where it was. Hill wanted the best gradient, so much that he hired a man to spend months searching western Montana for this legendary pass. The man did, in fact, find it, and the ecstatic Hill shortened his route by almost 100 miles.
Said he liked that, little miser.
Hill's Great Northern was, consequently, the best constructed and most profitable of all of the world's major railroads. As Michael Malone points out, the Great Northern's efficiency and profitability were legendary, whereas the government-subsidized railroads, on the other hand, managed by a group of political entrepreneurs who focused more on acquiring subsidies than on building sound railroads, were inefficiently built and operated. Jay Cook was not the only one whose government-subsidized railroad ended up in bankruptcy. In fact, Hill's Great Northern was the only transcontinental railroad that never went bankrupt.
Wow.
1-800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. Next up, we'll tell you about James Hill versus the real robber barons. But first, we're going to the phones, into the fun. Let's talk to Kenneth in Colorado. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, bad news, gentlemen.
Oh, no. What's up?
Well, I'm calling about the Military Commission Act of 2006.
Has it been signed?
Well, no. There's some moderate news on that. It's sitting on the president's desk as of yesterday, according to the Library of Congress. But it apparently hasn't been signed yet, unless they're slow updating the site.
All right.
I wanted to let you guys know that.
What was the bad news?
The really bad news is, I was curious, I've been digging around on the Republican Liberty Caucus website.
Uh-huh.
Every single person in their top 10, yay.
What? I'm sorry.
Both of my...
In their top 10 what?
My congressmen, yay.
He's saying they voted yes for the Military Commission's
Act of
2006.
Absolutely, every single one of them.
Wow.
And two of my congressmen that were rated as libertarian by the caucus, yay.
Wait a minute. Ron Paul is on that RLC list. He voted for the Military Commission?
No, all their top 10.
Oh, Ron Paul's not in the top 10?
Now, their top 10 this year was a little skewed because it seems that the Senate, just for whatever reason in general, voted more quote-unquote libertarian than the House did. So it's
all
senators.
I wouldn't expect half their top 10 to have voted yay.
Mm. Well, what can I tell you?
There you go. Yeah. What good are they? RLC.
They got people in. They've got people in.
Yeah. You know, in destroying freedom. Great job.
And well, let's find out what Jeff Flake, who they've actually
Jeff
endorsed.
Jeff Flake voted yay.
Yay? How about Ron Paul?
I actually didn't look him up. I can find it.
They've got one more that I can't recall, but... They've got three guys in there.
John Keel, I believe, is a real hot shot. He voted yay.
Well, you can't.
John Ensign voted yay.
You can't say no to the military. I mean, the act has the word military in it. Who could say no to that, Kenneth?
It's just really disturbing. I'll tell you how Paul voted in a second here.
All right. I can't imagine that Ron Paul would...
Yeah, I don't have it handy.
I'd be shocked if Paul voted yes on that one.
But I was shocked that Flake did, so...
He voted nay. Yeah, Ron Paul voted nay.
The one guy. He's probably like the Dr. only guy. Yeah, there you go. Thanks for the call, Kenneth. Oh, yeah? Still there?
Is it still on the desk?
Yep. Well, it'll get signed. It's supposed to be signed sometime toward the end of this week in some big signing ceremony. They're going to make a big deal out of this. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. Look, I'm not saying the RLC is a bad idea, Mark. I think it's a fine idea for those that think that there's still a chance to win over the Republican masses from the inside. Fine. Good luck to you.
I don't think
but
it's the Republican masses
up,
after.
To hold these guys up as the hallmarks of the libertarian-minded Republicans in Congress is just laughable, especially after this vote. They just voted to destroy habeas corpus and to destroy freedom in America.
Look, they have a Liberty Index which rates Congress people year by year. And what you have to do, like any index, you have to look at their each of these people's performance throughout the years. Now, they only endorse three candidates in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Three. So their top ten, they're not all endorsees. Well, I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything.
It's clear to me it doesn't mean much.
I mean, I'm not happy with the way Jeff Flake voted, but, you know, I mean, you're not going to be happy with how politicians go. I mean, even your favorite guy is going to do something you don't like now and then, like Ron Paul on immigration.
1-800-259-9231, that is the toll-free number. You can take control of the airwaves. Still to come, we got the rest of the story with James J. Hill, the alleged robber baron railroad man. We'll tell you the rest of his story, your calls as well, about whatever you want. This is your show. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number, and it is Free Talk Live.
Hey, ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondent Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Surely you've heard that ignorance of the law is no excuse. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org. So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizedDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. Visit DownsizedDC.org because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
What's the worst thing about listening to the radio? The commercial breaks are too long. Now, for just $3 a month, you can help Free Talk Live reduce the amount of time we spend playing commercials and get some really cool bonuses. Your contribution will help us get the show on more radio stations and MP3 players. For pennies per day, you'll help spread the message of liberty around the world. For more information, visit amp.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier today for just $3 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Price includes 4% down payment at 8% APR over 30 years.
If you could own a home for $199 a month, would you do it? Because the government and private banks are liquidating thousands of homes right now. Homes that have been foreclosed, confiscated, or repossessed for as little as $199 a month. For a list of foreclosures in your area, call BNI at 1-800-899-7633. Homes of every shape and size are being liquidated right now. To find these foreclosed homes and properties in your area, homes for as little as $199 a month, request a listing from BNI today. Call toll-free 1-800-899-7633. If you can afford $199 a month, you can afford to buy a home. But you can't afford to wait, because these homes are being liquidated immediately, many for as little as $199 a month. For a list of homes and properties in your area, call 1-800-899-7633. Find out what $199 a month can get you by calling 1-800-899-7633. 1-800-899-7633.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die, with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size, without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number for you, 800-259-9231. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231. You can help out the show by buying some stuff. Free Talk Live branded stuff like hats and T-shirts and more. You'll find it all at store.freetalklive.com, including our DVD archive collections of classic archives at very high quality. You'll see what I mean if you go to store.freetalklive.com. Also, we do need your help over at voting as well. We're still currently ranked at number 2 in the world at the podcast charts, thanks to those of you who have voted so far this year, or this month. Go to vote.freetalklive.com to help us out again. It'll take you less than a minute. Again, that's vote.freetalklive.com. Well, I'm going to continue the story about James J. Hill, probably in hour number 2, just because it's a fairly lengthy story, and I don't want to have to interrupt for the news. So, in the meantime, we're going to talk about some food-related articles, like Burger King and marijuana and the police. According to
Those three things go together?
Well, according to the AP, Los Lunas, New Mexico, three workers at a Burger King restaurant were arrested after tourists led a tribal police officers discovered that the hamburgers they'd ordered were sprinkled with marijuana. Now, I wonder how much marijuana they sprinkled on these burgers, because if it was just a little bit, they probably would have eaten them and not ever noticed.
Right.
But if you put a bunch on there, yeah, you're gonna taste the pot. You're going to know something's wrong.
Lay a couple of buds on there. I would think it would be kind of
That'd be really
gross.
Obvious, yeah. The police department officers ate about half of their burgers on Sunday before discovering marijuana on the meat. The officers used a field test kit to confirm the substance was pot. Then they went to a hospital for a medical evaluation. Now, I sort of balked at that when I first read it. I thought, the cops went to a hospital to be evaluated after they ate a little bit of pot? Really? I mean, eating a little bit of pot is not going to do anything to you. You could, if you eat enough of it, you could get sick for sure. But a little bit sprinkled on the hamburger, not going to do anything. I understand. I guess the reason why was it's department policy. So if you, as a police officer, accidentally imbibe some drugs, like in this case, you have to go and get yourself tested to prove or something that you have imbibed the drugs in that way. If the police department drug tests you, you can say, well, you know, I ate this pot burger the other day, and so that's why there's pot in my system, which made me think.
Then go home and smoke.
Exactly, which made me think that maybe these guys had a drug test coming up or something, and they figured out a way to kind of skate out of the test and essentially lie and say, yeah, we found this pot on this hamburger. We're going to arrest you guys. What? We didn't do anything. Yeah, well, we found pot on the hamburger. And so I guess, you know, that way they could have a free pass to smoke all the pot they want to for the next couple weeks. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I don't know. Somebody tossed under the bus like that. I mean, that's terrible to do to somebody, to just arrest them because you've got a pot test coming up.
Well, they've done some terrible things, these cops.
Well, I think that's...
Anyway, they arrested three employees charged with possession of marijuana and aggravated battery on an officer. which is a felony.
Well, if you tried to, if it was rat poison, I don't think you would have a problem with it being aggravated battery. I don't think they should be putting anything on hamburgers that doesn't belong there.
The board op says there was pot on the burger, so what else did they put on the burger? They knew they were the cops. Obviously, they targeted them with the pot, which is just a dumb idea. I mean, if it really happened the way that we believe it did, in that they put the pot on the burgers and fed them to the cops, what were you thinking? Is that funny? Hey, we're going to put this on the burger, man. Sprinkle that on there, dude.
I need a nap.
No, what are you thinking? These are the cops. Look, I could understand if it was your ex-girlfriend or somebody who's not a police officer. In that case, it might be kind of funny. But the cops? You're asking for trouble. Other food-related news from Toronto and Reuters. An animal rights group called Tuesday for a North American theme park operator to cancel a competition in which people will try to break the world cockroach-eating record. Theme park operator Six Flags, based in New York, is staging the contest as part of a promotion leading up to Halloween, in which it's also offering customers free entry or line-jumping privileges if they eat a live Madagascar hissing cockroach. It's got to be worse. It's got to be worse to eat a hissing cockroach than a regular cockroach, don't you think? I mean, it just sounds scarier.
Yuck.
I mean, it'd be one thing that...
It's all yucky.
Right. It'd be one thing to hold a cockroach and put it in your mouth. Another thing if the cockroach is hissing at you the entire time. The People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, yeah, you knew it was going to be them, PETA, said it had been flooded with calls from children, adults, and even anonymous employees of Six Flags. Now, what do you think they mean when they say flooded with calls? Come on. Really? Did that many people call in to PETA to report the cockroach eating contest? I could understand if Six Flags was having a puppy dog slaughtering contest. I could see PETA getting a few phone calls in that instance. But cockroaches?
Yeah, it sounds like they're just trying to play up the press.
Yeah, I don't believe it for a second. But PETA spokesperson Jackie Vergerio told Reuters, quote, "Insects do not deserve to be eaten alive, especially for a gratuitous marketing gimmick." Oh, why? Because the insects are going to feel pain and... What? Look, again, I can understand if it was like a cute-looking little animal, and you know that the dogs and the cats and they, those types of animals, animals with a spine, actually feel pain. Insects? I don't know. I think that's questionable at best.
Seems like it to me.
Anyway, a competition to beat the world cockroach eating record is being held Friday at a Six Flags park in Illinois. Anyone who beats the record will win a season pass for four people for the 2007 year with VIP queue jumping status, meaning if you go to a ride at Six Flags, then you get to the front of the line because you're a VIP. Competitors will try to break the current world record, which is held by Ken Edwards of Derbyshire, England, who devoured all of 36 Madagascar hissing cockroaches. It's got to be those kind of cockroaches.
They're pretty big.
In 1 minute.
Wow.
36 in 1 minute.
Ugh.
You really got to want a season pass
There's
to want to eat 36 cockroaches.
And legs coming out of his mouth. Oh, God, how awful.
And do you actually have to swallow the 36 in 1 minute? That seems
eating?
Really difficult. I mean, how do you chew in that amount of time? You can't chew 36 cockroaches in a minute's time. That's crazy.
Yucky.
Six Flags spokesperson James Taylor said the only complaints...
I love James Taylor.
I see fire and I see... The only complaints...
On country road.
The company had received were from people who did not have the opportunity to sign up to eat a cockroach because only 12 of its 30 parks were participating. So, wait a minute. Are you telling me that... All right, now maybe everybody's lying in this particular case. Maybe PETA is lying about receiving a flood of phone calls about the cockroach eating contest, and maybe Six Flags is lying about not receiving any phone calls. In fact, just claiming that the phone calls they've gotten were from people who are complaining because they couldn't enter the contest at their local park. Taylor dismissed any health concerns, saying the cockroaches were raised in a sterile environment and were safe to eat as shrimp or lobster with high nutritional value. Madagascar hissing cockroaches are large, wingless cockroaches that can grow between 1.5 to 3 inches.
At least you don't have those annoying wings in the way while you're eating them.
Oh, yeah, I guess they are wingless. Taylor said no one who had indulged in this rare delicacy had ever complained. Quote, "It's something that's supposed to be scary. It's icky.
It's a little nutty.
It's gross. It's Halloween fun. And just one small part of the haunted houses and thrilling rides going on right now at Six Flags." Okay, I added the last part, but... He did say thrilling rides going on. That was the end of his quote. 800-259-9231. Do you think that PETA even has a wing to stand on here on this one? Really? Cockroaches? I'd love to hear from you. 800-259-9231. I know that PETA is supposed to stand for the ethical treatment of all animals, but do insects really even qualify as animals? I guess they do.
I don't think they're going to get a lot of public support behind ethically treating insects.
No, I don't think they're going to get a lot of new sign-ups or anything like that off this one.
But I think here what's happening is that both of them, PETA's enterprising off of the publicity that Six Flags is going to get by feeding people cockroaches, and then Six Flags enterprises off of the publicity that PETA gives them by, saying, don't eat the cockroaches.
That's an interesting observation, because this would not have made Reuters if it weren't for PETA piping up.
Yeah, you can believe it's PETA that really bumped it up.
It makes you wonder, maybe they're working together. Is that possible? Did that happen?
I don't know, because you would think that they would have done it before the cockroach eating contest was over, the entrance was closed.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, but they're still going to try and get people to turn out to see this, right? I mean, this is a spectacle.
Yeah.
People want to watch when others are eating cockroaches. Nobody wants to actually do it. But
I don't
watch somebody do it. I'll watch that. That's why those Fear Factor shows are so popular.
Yeah, I wouldn't go too far to watch it, but I would definitely watch it.
I mean, it's some weird stuff, dude.
I don't think I'd pay $40, $50, $60 for a ticket to go get into Six Flags to watch it.
I hope that they're giving the guys that are going to eat the cockroaches free admission for the day. I mean, even if you don't win the contest, right? Because I mean, there's only one guy that's going to get the 2007 season pass, so they're going to have a certain number of people coming in there to participate. At least, I hope. I'm sure they would give them free admission.
Well, I'd enter their little contest then and say, yuck, I'm not eating any cockroaches.
Then they'd probably
ride the roller coaster.
Kick you out of the park. 1-800-259-9231. You take control of the airwaves on the way. It is your show. Coming up, we're going to finish up the story about the robber baron, James J. Hill. Was he as evil as the history books say he was? Well, so far we've determined that no. No, he's not. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizedDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. Visit DownsizedDC.org because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.